Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 130 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of girls soccer tonight. Later on, I'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Chris Allen. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach of the Ankeny girls soccer team. And of course, 2 years ago, he led the Hawkettes to the Class 3A state title. He is Simon Brown. Simon, thanks for joining me on the phone. How are you doing?
How's it going, Dan? Thanks. Seems like a long time since I spoke to you. So, yeah, I'm happy to have a little chat with you again.
Well, it has
season started.
Yeah, it has been a while. When you have a whole season get canceled, I guess those things happen, huh?
Yeah, that's the thing. I know I was talking to Andy, the AD here, and he was like, you know, spring sports last year kind of got the roughest of it because baseball, it seems like, are starting their third season since we had one. You know, basketball has had two seasons since we'd had one, so we're excited for our turn.
Oh, sure. Well, I know you're a busy guy. Not only are you coaching the Ankeny team, but is your William Penn team, are they playing right now too?
Yeah, we're playing games. We had a game last night in Hannibal, Missouri. We played Saturday. We played against Northwestern at home, and then this Saturday I'm traveling up to Sioux City to play against Briarcliff. So trying to manage both team schedules, and you know, I do 6 a.m. in the morning at Ankeny, and then I boost down to Oskaloosa and do William Penn and vice versa. So just trying to make the most of it to give the kids the best experience possible.
Well, yeah, I know when you took, you know, both jobs, you never envisioned that they'd both be playing the same season, did you?
No. You know, I'm really lucky that I work for two great ADs that are really flexible. And this is just such a unique season. But this first 3 weeks of the season is obviously the biggest crossover with preseason at the high school. And games are starting with William Penn, you know. So just we're coming towards the end of William Penn and starting Ankeny. So just trying to get William Penn qualified for the national tournament. And then obviously trying to get Ankeny off to the right foot. So a lot of the sessions are trying to mesh up pretty well. So I can use a lot of the same ideas with the kids and trying to play a similar style. So I'm not getting too confused when I'm coaching, you know, the girls team and calling out one of my boys' names or vice versa, you know, so.
Sure. Well, yeah, I know you're busy, so I appreciate your time tonight. Well, it's obviously been a long time since you guys raised that trophy down there at County Park. You know, are you and the girls anxious to get out there and play a game?
Yeah, I think we all are. You know, I think one of the things that when COVID hit was there was a feeling that when we all stopped playing, that when we would come back, there would be like a new appreciation just for sport. And you see all the other teams on Twitter and talking and stuff like that, and everybody's just excited to play. Nobody's talking about, you know, going to state or winning around like that. Everybody just wants to get out and play because they had that taken away from them, you know. So I think that everybody's on the same page. Everybody's just excited to touch a ball and, you know, get competition and enjoy themselves. And I think that's the main thing. There's just, like I said, there's a new appreciation for sport and competing and getting out there and playing with your friends and all that stuff. So, you know, I'm just as excited as the girls, and hopefully it's less nerves, more excitement. To get the season started, because like I said, everybody just wants to enjoy themselves because they had that taken away from them.
Sure. Well, you guys will host a jamboree on Friday night. It looks like you'll have multiple schools here for that. I guess you guys will be playing Roosevelt, is that right?
Yeah, we're going to play against Roosevelt. It was the same schedule and the same teams as what we had set up for 2020. Like I said, there are a couple of teams that wanted to cross over. I know Roosevelt have a good team. I'm good friends with the coach, Trevor. So they were going to have a very, very good team in 2020, and he had a couple of seniors coming through that were going to be juniors. So it'll be a good little test, you know. It's like I said, it'll be a good first run out for 40 minutes for the kids just to get a feel for it, you know, and to be in the environment of the game and be around each other. You know, we have so many new faces that the girls are just excited to play. You know, they're excited to get out there and, you know, get the feel of being in the locker room and playing in front of their parents, stuff like that. That's kind of what high school sports is all about.
Well, what are you hoping to get out of the jamboree? Just hoping to learn a little bit more about your team?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I said to the girls tonight just at practice when we were running through the jamboree in 2019, you know, it was my first year, and in 2019 we only had a week of practice. So to the Jamboree was just was an eye opener for me for the level of girls, and it also gave me loads of ideas about what to work on in practice, you know. So we hope that things will go wrong, and you know, we hope that the girls will make mistakes, and because that gives us a picture of what we need to work on. You know, we don't want things to go perfect in our first little scrimmage, because you know, then it gives us no ideas about what to fix and to get better at. So yeah, hopefully Roosevelt come and give us a good game. I know they will, because they're a good team. And then we'll use that for our sessions for the game for Tuesday, and give us about the ideas about what we need to work on.
All right. Well, yeah, you guys will officially open the season on Tuesday at Iowa City West. And I know they have a traditionally strong program. But do you know much about their personnel, since, you know, they didn't play last season either?
I've got friends that coach out there that's given me a couple of ideas. I know they played a Jamboree against Cedar Rapids Prairie on Monday. My friend's the coach there, and he just gave me a couple of ideas about how they set up the key players, and that's enough for us to, you know, have an idea about how they are. It's going to be the same thing for them, you know. They're not going to know much about us, and same thing for everyone in the state. You know, it's just everything's just completely new. Everyone's got two new classes, so it's just starting all over again. You know, just trying to get a feel for it. It's so unique. We're all the same. We're all in the same situation. So I don't think it's an advantage for anybody, you know.
Sure. Well, yeah, let's talk about your team a little bit. You know, you've obviously had quite a bit of, you know, roster turnover yourself. You know, how do you think this team is going to differ from that 2019 squad?
You know, we're very, very young this year. That team that I took over in 2019, we had, it's very unique in a sport of soccer of 11 starters, and 8 of them were seniors, you know. They'd all played with each other for so long. So I was in a really fortunate position to come in and take those girls, because, you know, they kind of coached me through for the first couple of months about, you know, this is the way that we play, this is the way that we do things, this is the way that this team plays, and this is what we do on game day type of thing. So, you know, as much as they like to say that they help me, I help them, they help me out probably a lot more, because I got a feel for, you know, the way the high school is. With my first year as a head coach, you know, there was a couple of games where I was probably more nervous than them. So they've passed that on to me, and now we have all these new kids coming in. So we have so many sophomores and freshmen, you know, that have never been around the block before. And you know, the freshman girls were in seventh grade when we won state in 2019. So, you know, it's a bit of a baptism of fire for them. So, like I said, it's just trying to mesh everybody together, trying to do a little bit of culture building with the girls, trying to get them to, you know, spend time in the locker room together, to get to know each other, and all those things. But like I said, the team is just a lot younger. We only have 5 seniors in the squad this year, as opposed to 8 starters in 2019. So. A lot of differences, but it's exciting. You know, it's an exciting challenge for us, and exciting for those girls that are just forced into those leadership positions when they probably, you know, had a year taken away from them to learn a little bit more. So, you know, it's just another learning curve.
We said you only have 5 seniors. So did you lose some players because of the pandemic that maybe went out and found other activities?
You know what? Just from talking to other coaches across the state in soccer at all levels, I just think numbers are down. I just think numbers are down in all sports, specifically soccer. And my good friend coaches at Xavier, and he only took 14 girls for his varsity team. And my friend at Prairie, you know, he only has 16 girls. I have a girl that actually played for me at William Penn. She's the assistant coach at Ottumwa, and she just said, you know, we only have one team this year. We only have a varsity. So I just think numbers are down because parents don't want to send their kids out because of, you know, we're not out of the light yet, and we're not out of the tunnel yet in the pandemic. So I just think it's a universal thing across the state.
Okay. Well, you do have a couple of returning starters to build around. Forward Rachel Chrisman and midfielder Irie Vincent both started every game at the state tournament. Chrisman had 1 goal and 6 assists as a sophomore, and she's coming off a basketball season in which, you know, she really stepped up for the Hawkettes, and she's planning to play soccer at Wartburg next year. Do you think she's someone that could become, you know, one of your primary goal scorers this season?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, somebody's got to step up, you know. She's definitely, she knows the way we play. You know, she knows the intensity we play at. She knows the level. She knows how tough the competition is. You know, she played a lot of minutes as a sophomore. So we're just going to try to play her a little bit more direct as a forward, as opposed to on the wing, or, you know, maybe in the midfield where she was in 2019. So a couple of different positions to her. And like I said, just learning a new role for Rachel to try to get her in front of the goal. She has a very, very good shot, left foot, right foot. So she's going to get opportunities. I know that. And hopefully she scores more than the couple of, she got 1 goal in 2019.
Right, uh-huh.
Yes, hopefully she gets more than that because she's leading the line for us at the start of the season.
All right. Well, then Vincent had one goal and three assists while helping that 2019 team to an 18-4 record. And she told me for the prep of the week this week that she's trying to be a leader for some of the young girls. Have you seen her taking over some of that leadership role?
Yeah, even just now when the girls left the locker room after practice, you know, she was the one saying the announcements. We haven't had our normally we pick the first captain and then we let the girls vote on the other ones. So I picked Kennedy Mackey as the captain. And her and Irie have already been connecting. So, you know, Irie's stepping up in that leadership role. So it'll be clear for the girls to see if that's who they vote for their captain and they can have Irie to step up. But, yeah, she's been talking to the girls. You know, there's so few heads that have been around the block. Irie's one of them. She's been here the whole time. You know, she's played soccer all her life. And one of the things that we always seem to find with the girls that aren't going to go play soccer in college, they know that this is kind of their last hurrah. So to give everything, you know, look at like Jalen Keeker. 2 years ago, she wasn't going to play soccer. She's gone to Iowa State, which is fantastic to continue on her vacation. But that last game in high school, the same as, you know, Kate Schaefer, they were her last games in high school. They were their last soccer games, you know, so the last competitive soccer game. So they know that, they know that it's coming to an end. So they give a little bit more. So always seem to find that with seniors in college and then seniors in high school too, that, you know, their last competitive soccer game, they've just, you know, they give that extra little bit that's probably not there for kids that have commitments to go play in college.
All right. And then Sophie Day and Allie Fong are two other seniors who are expected to play key roles for you this season. Day had 3 goals and 4 assists as a sophomore, and she is committed to play for Simpson. And Fong had 5 goals and 2 assists in 2019. How are those two girls looking in practice?
Yeah, looking really good. You know, they're excited to play. And there are a couple of other kids, you know, that if the team wasn't so stacked, in 2019, they probably would have competed a little bit more. They probably would have played for a lot more teams in the state. But when we have like 8 seniors that have played together for so long, they kind of just, you know, they took a lot of the playing time from those girls. And you know, Sophie's ready. She's after improving so much since I took over here. She's playing a little bit more of a midfield role as opposed to a forward. I know she was over with Sporting Iowa in the club, and my friend coached her, and he said he played her in the midfield and did really well for her. So looking to move her around positions as well. And then Ali, I know she's gone on a couple of visits to colleges, so she's looking to try and play at the next level as well. So again, another one that's very, very quick, really, really good in 1v1s, and just have to get her, find her those finishing boots as well, the same as Rachel.
All right, and then Lauren McManus, your other senior who's back, as she had 2 goals and 1 assist in 2019, and she's emerged as one of the state's best runners in the last year, and she's also running track this spring, so she's obviously going to have to coordinate her schedule to get the most out of both sports. Now, she really came out of nowhere to kind of, you know, earn a scholarship to run at Iowa. Did you have any idea what kind of talent she had as a runner?
I didn't. The first, not at the start, but the first idea I had, Lauren had a runner's mindset, was we do these fitness tests every morning. So during the winter, we do fitness at 6:30 a.m. They come in and we just do running, and there's a specific fitness test that we do. That's the first one is really tough, and then the second one's even tougher, and then she'd always do better on the second one than she did in the first one. I was like, listen, this isn't supposed to happen. You know, you're supposed to get better on the first one and then worse in the second one. I said, either you're holding back in the first one, or you're either really mentally tough. And it just turns out it's the latter. You know, she's not holding back in anything. She's just a mentally tough kid. You know, she's able to keep that stamina going. So she'll be one that when she's able to make soccer, we'll absolutely take her, and we'll know that she'll be able to go the full 90 minutes.
All right, and then you mentioned Kennedy Mackey earlier. She's back along with Eden Gibson and Brooke Harrington, a couple other juniors who also played in the state tournament for you 2 years ago. Mackey had 1 goal and 1 assist as a freshman. Harrington had another goal. Now, Irie told me that she thinks Brooke is ready to fill her sister's shoes because Allie was your team's leading scorer 2 years ago. You know, do you think Brooke is ready to make that leap?
Yeah, she is. You know, she's excited. It's always unique when you got to live in your sister's footsteps, you know. And Sarah Brandt is one of them. You know, she obviously has an older sister in Mary and then a younger sister in Meg. So, you know, she learned that right away. And Brooke's doing really well. You know, she's excited to be out here and playing. And she's another one that, if the team wasn't so stacked in 19, that she would have, you know, filled out a little bit more. But she's really, really good. Right foot, left foot. She's super dynamic. You can tell she's after, athletically, she's after getting a lot better. So yeah, she's another one that we're absolutely banking on stepping up, getting us a couple more goals, and just being a bit more of an attacking threat.
And then another returning player is Gabby Rorda, and she is committed to play for Grandview. Now, which position will she be playing?
You know, Gabby's fighting for a couple of different positions on the pitch, same as the other girls. So we have a good competition with all those freshmen coming in, and a couple of the girls that were in JV in the past. So yeah, Gabby's fighting for a couple of different positions on the pitch, and it's just going to depend what formation we figure out. So we're going to try a couple of different formations on Friday, a couple of different ideas, and then we'll try to figure out starting lineups and stuff like that. We have a couple of different options. It looks like a couple of new kids are going to be able to step up right away and help us out.
All right. Well, then one of the biggest question marks that your team had coming into the season was at the goalkeeper position. Of course, Brenny Frederick did such a great job in goal 2 years ago, and she's moved on to Simpson College. So who do you have competing for that spot?
Yeah, we got really lucky. We have a freshman girl that that we knew was coming into the program from eighth grade, Taven now. So yeah, I know when I helped out with Rush, I saw her there. So we knew we had a freshman coming in, and obviously we lost Brenny and Sydney, so we had two massive holes to fill as far as keepers. And then we had another girl that's transferred in from Columbia, Missouri, and she's a sophomore, Jasmine Moore. So yeah, those two are competing for the starting spot right away. So yeah, we have two very, very good goalkeepers again. So very fortunate that we graduated two studs, and we brought two studs in that are going to be in the program for the next 3-4 years. So,
well, it's good to hear. Well, I know you told me that your team has a lot of speed in the defensive backfield, due primarily to some, track and cross country kids. So who are the players that you'll be counting on at those positions?
Yeah. So just speaking to the track girls that just left. So, we have Liz Proctor, Eden Gibson, and Jenna as well. They're all track runners that are going to be able to, but they're multi-sport athletes that are, they're just tough to get in behind, so we'll be able to play a little bit higher up the field. Hopefully that will just limit any sort of balls in behind their back line with that speed. So again, it's just an idea that we're going to work on. Everything looks good on paper when you have a bunch of track kids at the back, to stop those balls in behind. And we'll see if it works on Friday, and then we'll see if it works in the game again on Tuesday if we can fix a couple of things.
Well, of course, those kids have some big shoes to fill as well, because 2 years ago Chloe Cooker and Sage Adamson were so strong in the back for your team, and they were just such a huge part of your success, weren't they?
Yeah, they were good, and like I said, they were the girls that just they bought into everything that we said, and they were just dynamite at the back, and great kids as well. So like I said, Eden was really fortunate because she was behind those two girls, Chloe and Sage. And they really, took her under her wing about how it's supposed to go. So, if ever there was a case where, when we played Waukee away the first time, Chloe got a yellow card, and I didn't want to suspend her for a sub sake of the last game. So, we took Chloe out and then put Eden in as a freshman against, they were the number one team at the time. And, Eden really stepped up, and you could tell that, she had practiced all season with those girls, so she was ready to play. So, I have no problems with Eden back there, leading the line. And she learned from those girls that were good stewards to the program back in 2019. And, now it's her job to step up and really lead that defensive line.
Well, I haven't seen any rankings yet, but I would think that you guys would be ranked, somewhere as the last team to win a state title in Class 3A. And as far as other teams go, who do you look for to be really strong this year? Or is it too early to know that, since all the teams have turned over so much?
Yeah, it's honestly tough. I don't think we're anywhere near the number one team. I know the boys... they're not doing a first ranking. They're going to let them play a couple of weeks, which I think would be the fairest thing. We don't want anybody just to throw the number one tag on us from a team that was here 2 years ago with two starters, because it wouldn't be fair to us and to the other teams out there that probably have more stacked programs right now. So I think the fairest thing to do is just let us play, let us play for a couple of weeks, and then we can come out and then we can figure out where we are. It usually figures itself out over the course of the season. Sometimes they get the rankings wrong, sometimes they get it right, but like I said, just let us play and we can figure out where it is. If they put us at number one, I'm sure we won't stay there unless we win out. But like I said, it'll be unique. I don't envy the people that have to make the decisions on the rankings this year, because nobody knows what teams are out there.
Right. Yeah, it would be tough. Well, I know you told me earlier that you set some goals for each game, and if you guys can accomplish some of those smaller goals, that you'll have a good chance to have a successful season. Just in general, what do you think will be the keys for this team to reach its ceiling?
Yeah, I think we're very, very thin this year. I think it's us staying fit and healthy is priority number one, keeping our best players available. to play in every game, and that they're ready. And that's their job as coaches, to not push them too hard. There's a time where we can take a step back and you know maybe push them a little bit more tactically rather than physically. But we have to, same as always, we have to start at the back and just not concede goals. And then we have to find some match winners in the team. You know, whether that's through set pieces, whether that's through the girls that we talked about earlier. We just have to find winners in the team. And you know, each game will bring a new challenge, and each game will bring new opposition and a new key players that we have to focus on. So yeah, we just have to be able to adapt and you know, stay stout in defence and you know, creative going forward, and try win games that way.
Well, I know Irie told me that she thinks this team has done a good job of communicating with each other, and that the team has shown an ability to connect through the middle to find its forwards. Do you think that will be one of the team's strengths?
Yeah, it has to be, honestly, because they said we're so new that they have to just learn. They have to work with each other. You know, yesterday it has to happen so quick because a lot of kids don't know each other. You know, we have those new kids coming in, and they really have to work together. And they are. They're great. You know, they're great in the locker room already together. And, you know, I told them the stuff that doesn't matter matters the most sometimes, like the team meals when everybody's together at their time in the locker room. You know, that's when you build that camaraderie. And then when you have a good camaraderie, it translates onto the pitch, you know. So you're willing to fight for a girl that, you know, is has got your back, and you spend a lot of time with together. So they're the best moments. The moments that the girls will remember from their high school career is probably a little bit of soccer, but more so the time together on the bus, in the locker room, you know, at team meals, all those things that were taken away from 2019. And that's, like I said at the start, there's a newfound appreciation for playing sport with their high school friends and kids they grew up with.
All right, Simon. Well, hey, it should be a fun season. I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing you guys play. Thanks a lot for your time tonight, and good luck this season.
I appreciate it, Dan. I appreciate all the coverage that you do, and I know that all the families are looking forward to reading your articles and listening to everything that you have to say for the season.
You bet. Well, hey, we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate
it. You bet.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my other guest tonight is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial girls soccer team. He guided the Jaguars to a 16-4 record 2 years ago, and he has compiled an overall mark of 99-24 in his 6 seasons with the Jaguars. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's been a long time since we've sat down for one of these.
It has been, yeah. Too long, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I didn't realize until I added it up today that you're one win away from reaching the 100 victory mark there at Centennial. Did you know that you were closing in on that mark?
I think the opportunity would have been against Waukee in the state semifinal. And the reason I think I knew that is because the head coach at Waukee, I think he got his 100th with his program against us.
Gotcha. Well, of course, you know, you would have reached that milestone, you know, last year as well if you guys would have had a season. Of course, it was canceled by COVID-19, so it has been a long time coming. Will that milestone mean anything to you personally, or will it just be another win, you know, when you get it?
It's an opportunity to reflect on all the great teams that I've had in the past. So I think anytime I've been a part of a milestone, that's often what I do with that, is just to think back about the kids who really were the ones who made that happen.
Well, you guys are slated to host a scrimmage against Johnston on Thursday. What are you hoping to get out of the scrimmage? Just to learn a little bit more about your team?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is just to have an opportunity to see the team throw on the uniform and get on the field against an opponent that probably equally wants to come away with a match. That's really, for coaches, is an opportunity to experiment and just to see how people are, or the players are, gelling together.
Well, your team won't officially open the season until April 9th and 10th, when you'll be hosting the Centennial Invitational. And it looks like there will be several teams here for that tournament, including Ankeny. So will that be a bracketed tournament, or is it more of a round robin type event?
With Ankeny, it's a partnership. We've invited some teams in to just kind of give us a chance to play some of the strong teams from the east side of the state, to see some of the strong teams from the central Iowa. You know, it's something that we were hoping that we can get a college preseason game attached to as well, and just make it a showcase of talent in Iowa. But unfortunately, with COVID, it knocked out fall seasons for colleges, and so they're going to be in the middle of their regular season. So it's not going to happen this year, but it's something we'd like to grow in the future.
Oh, sure. Well, it's probably hard to know what to expect from a lot of these, you know, other teams that'll be here at the tournament, just because, you know, of the roster turnover that everybody's had, right?
Yeah, it really is. I do know that Pleasant Valley, who's coming down, they had a strong young team in 2019. So it'll be interesting to see what they've put together here now that they've gained some more years as players. But yeah, it's pretty wide open.
Well, how have your practices been going? Do you feel like, you know, you guys will be ready to play a game by next weekend?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we'd be itching for a game on Monday or Tuesday. It's just been really hard to kind of fill the schedule there that early on. A lot of teams had a lot of games in place, and we ended up with an opening there. And so I would have loved to open at some point in the season prior to the Invitational, but it'll work out. It gives us more time together as a squad. We can make more adjustments after Thursday night and what we see there. Practices have gone really well. Energy has been incredibly high. Enthusiasm for the program has been high. The upperclassmen are really reaching out to the underclassmen and developing bonds there. We'll have interesting relationships all over the field with kind of a mix of the seniors and juniors with the sophomores and freshmen, I think, when we put the product out in the field.
Well, your team does have several returning players from the 2019 team to build around. One of them is Elizabeth Overberg, and she's one of the state's top players. The senior midfielder had 6 goals and 5 assists as a sophomore, and she was a second-team All-State pick, and she'll be playing for Minnesota next year. I know you told me earlier that she's really taken over a leadership role this season. You're just going to be counting on her a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I think that's obvious. The players themselves look up to Elizabeth. You know, when she takes time to talk to them about her skill sets or, you know, what she's, her hopes for the program, you know, they're tuned in. She's come a long way with her leadership, but she's always had that as a part of her, a drive to be a leader. She pushes people in practice, is incredibly tactical in how she plays. It's, you know, she's definitely a benefit for our program.
Forward Megan White is your team's top returning scorer. She had 10 goals and 5 assists as a sophomore, and she's headed to the University of Missouri, Kansas City next year. And I don't know if she'll be your leading scorer or not, but it's got to feel good to have, you know, someone back like her who you know can put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And Megan, again, is another player who sees the opportunity to grow with Iowa Rush Club in her time away from our high school program. And she's just really coming in very strong. She's kind of figured some things out in that target forward position, and I think we'll see a lot of good things from her.
Well, among your returnees in the midfield are Macy Epp and Courtney Kovacs. Epp had 7 goals and 5 assists as a sophomore, and she'll play for Minnesota State next year. I know you've always relied on your midfield to kind of control the pace of the game. Do you like what you've seen from your midfield thus far?
Yeah, I think in terms of our central midfield, it's going to be incredibly strong. I think, you know, we're going to be able to put some of the top players in their age groups in the state together in that central midfield, and I think it's going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of teams. I imagine they'll try to play around us, and then, you know, if that's the case, we're thinking about even moving Macy up out wide into a fullback position where she can use her speed and her power in 1v1 battles to help us out there. So hopefully we can congest those lanes as well.
Well, one of your returnees in the defensive backfield is Cece Burrows, who will play for Augustana, South Dakota next year. Do you kind of look for her to be the leader back there?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing is in the past we've had a lot of experience, especially from our center back position and out. You know, 2019, you had Division I players in Lizzie Johnson and Allie Wyckoff and Olivia Wee. And then we added Cece Burrows to that mix. So she was gaining experience playing with them. You know, I think more naturally she's been a midfield player, but I just love I love a central defender that's got a good soccer IQ and that can read the game well, just kind of steady. And I think that's what CC brings to that position. So we're definitely going to rely on her leadership back there.
Well, you mentioned those players from the 2019 team. You guys have always been known for your stingy defense, and that's been a big part of, you know, your success. So I'm sure you'd like nothing more than to have a really good defense again this year.
Yeah, and, you know, the plan was to kind of continue that J.C. Hall was going to step into a big role there. Hannah Ron would have had a shot at a big role in that area. And then again, continuing with CeCe, but you know, we graduated those players before we had a really, you know, a strong chance to utilize them. But you know, that's where we started with our practices, was kind of a focus on the back line when we're out of possession, and quickly winning the ball back and moving it up the field to become dangerous up the field.
We also have two goalkeepers back, in senior Allie Jumper and junior Tegan Hall. Jumper is a Winona State recruit who allowed just 7 goals and made 47 saves in 2019. And you told me earlier that she's done a good job of working with the other goalkeepers, hasn't she?
Yeah, Allie's been a great leader. And again, another player that's just super motivated to be a part of the program. She's working with both. We've actually decided to run with 3 goalkeepers at our varsity level, with Tegan Hall returning. And then Kate Bergen is a sophomore that the high school scene didn't get a chance to meet during her freshman year. And all 3 of them have just upped the level of competition. They grow each practice. And so it's going to be a great keeper competition there. And of course, Allie's got the experience. She knows how to communicate to the players that have returned to our program. She's played with many of them before. But all 3 of them are just great kids, first off, and then great teammates as well.
Well, you also told me earlier that this team might have more speed than most of your other teams have had. You know, does that mean that you guys might be more prone to attack quickly when you go from defense to offense, as opposed to patiently trying to generate an attack?
Yeah, you know, the patient part of it, that's kind of a part of my ID right now. However, you know, in a lot of practices, we've been working up the ball at a quicker pace, working the ball up the field at a quicker pace. You know, I'm not putting possession limits on the kids. It's if you see an opportunity to the ball forward, let's get it forward. I'm not going to take a lot of success in a back line that's passing around one attacking player. You know, that's pretty simple to do for us. We want to be able to advance the ball quickly with some purpose.
All right, and then senior Macy Langstrass, another attorney for your team. She had 1 goal and 2 assists as a sophomore, and she's committed to run track and cross country for Southwest Minnesota State. So which position will she be playing?
Yeah, she'll probably be playing in one of our wide outside mid positions. She's pretty effective at serving the ball into her teammates, so we'll probably utilize her in more of an outside wide position.
All right. Well, then I know your coaching staff has undergone some changes since 2019. You have assistant coach Peter Rame back with you for the first time since 2016. And, of course, he was the Ankeny boys head coach from 1993 to 2001. He just can't stay away from the game, can he?
Yeah, he keeps calling him back. You know, I remember in 2016 when we decided we had an opportunity to get him on the staff. I think we had gone to Iowa State to watch Alyssa Williamson play and Aubrey Larson. And, you know, he just had an interest in the game, and we started chatting there, and that's where the seeds were planted for that 2016 season. And then things weren't going to work out again for the 2017 season. But he's kind of always taken an interest in the kids ever since his 2016 run. And so when things had to move around for this season, he was one of the first people we reached out to apply for the position, and he was willing to do so, and we're happy to have him back on staff.
Well, I know you rely heavily on all of your assistant coaches, and they've certainly been a big part of, you know, your success over the years, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, and just the consistency that we've been able to bring this season, but absolutely, all my assistant coaches, and just historically, have been so important to me. I had the opportunity to learn from some of the greats. You know, I coach alongside Lacey Day, and you know, she went on to have success as a head coach as well. But even that dynamic, it was very good for me and very good for the program. Program's growth, obviously, with both Ankeny schools coming out of the split with some success. So I definitely put a lot to the assistant coaches. I want them to seize leadership opportunities in the game and with the kids.
All right. Well, at the top, when we were talking about your 100th victory, you mentioned that loss to Waukee in the semifinals 2 years ago. You guys did lose that match in a shootout, and you do have several players back from that team. Do you guys kind of feel like you have some unfinished business, you know, after that tournament, or is that such a long time ago that that maybe it's not even relevant at this point?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I think, you know, it's just there's such a desire just to get back on the field. And so, really, you know, there's not been a lot of focus on that game. You know, we went to the state final and watched the great Waukee team battle a great Ankeny team, and that we were motivated to come back and maybe prove ourselves that next season. But again, there is so much distance between it, and, you know, two classes of kids who weren't even a part of that experience, that it's really been kind of about forging our identity now.
Well, yeah, I was talking to Coach Brown earlier, and, you know, he mentioned there really hasn't been much talk about, you know, getting a state or whatever. He says that they're just so happy to be back on the field and playing again that everything else is just kind of secondary.
Yeah, it's crazy. The weather was miserable last week with rain every day except for Friday, and it didn't matter. there was just still high energy. I was happy to be out there with the kids. It was just an experience to relish, just the start of the season. And, you know, as seasons go on, you can – at times maybe take those for granted, and I don't feel like anybody did last week.
Well, I'm sure Ankeny's team is going to be very competitive again. Of course, Waukee is obviously always one of the state's best teams. Have you thought much about, you know, which teams are going to be the ones to beat this year, or is it just too early to tell?
Yeah, of course we think of that. We want to run a tough schedule, and so I'm glad we have Ankeny on there. It's a bummer that we don't have Waukee on our regular season schedule this year. I think Valley will have a good team again. They typically do. Pleasant Valley, again, we'll have a good team there as they come into our invitational on Saturday. Johnston, who will get a seat Thursday night, will have a quality team. I don't mean to dismiss anybody or overlook anybody, but there's a lot of teams that have potential to put in really strong runs. You know, even out west in Council Bluffs, you know, Abraham Lincoln looks to have a good team out that way, and I'm sure there's a lot of schools out there, too, that are ready to compete.
All right, Chris, well, I'll finish up with you on this note. For the last couple of weeks, I've been busy putting together the all-time Ankeny Fanatic, Ankeny boys soccer team. Of course, I did the girls team last summer, and that team just had so many great players on it. And the thing that struck me about that team was, you know, how many Division I players have come through, you know, this town that couldn't even make one of those top three teams. You know, I'm sure you had a chance to look through that list. And what was your impressions, you know, of those teams that we put together?
I think there's incredible. All three of those teams are incredible. And you can name a bunch of other players that could have easily fallen into any of those teams as well. I think it was a great tribute to the quality of soccer that's been in this Ankeny community for so long. And like I said, it's a list that's never going to leave anybody satisfied. You know, somebody else sits down and puts together their top three. There's going to be changes throughout. But definitely, another walk down memory lane with some of the great kids that have been in our program.
Yeah, it's been fun for me to go through all these old results and put these things together. And I thought the girls one came together fairly easily. I didn't have to make too many tough decisions. Boy, with the boys, for whatever reason, it just seems like the boys, there haven't been as many Division I players. There's been a lot more Division II and III players. And trying to separate those guys out has been really difficult. But I'm getting close to being finished, I think. So.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in the boys program, we've had a lot of quality players. And just because they haven't ended up Division I, There's fewer opportunities, it seems like, for those Division I pickups for kids coming through Iowa programs. And I think there's just been a ton of talent that maybe has been overlooked on the boys' side. But definitely a lot of strong kids there, too. So, yeah, you have your work cut out to you whenever you've decided to do those lists, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had to find...
It's not something I'd want to do.
Well, we had to find something to do when that pandemic first hit, so...
Yeah.
So it's been fun. Well, hey, Chris, enjoy the conversation tonight. I'm looking forward to the season, and, you know, good luck this year.
I appreciate it, and I'm glad to be talking to you again.
You bet. We'll be talking again soon.
All right, thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We'll come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.